get the old chimney sweeper. Make sure the chimney is clear. Time to get humming. Santa is coming. I love this time of the year.
Welcome to another episode of Molly and Pete Save Christmas. I am Pete.
I'm Molly.
And this is a Christmas-themed podcast where Molly and I break down a Hallmark Christmas movie.
And today, it's a very special episode.
It is a Hallmark Hall of Fame.
Yep. When I saw that pop up, I was like, oh no.
What are the criteria for a Hallmark Hall of Fame? Are there old...
Sad. Sappy.
Do old Hallmark stars get in a room and vote if it is like the Baseball Hall of Fame? Do they get in together and...
Well, I think more money is spent on it. Like the star caliber is higher.
Yeah.
They spent... Nat King Cole songs are featured in this one, not weird original soundalikes.
Yeah,
just like the quality of it all seemed... higher.
Yeah.
More is invested in this one. And we chose, so we're doing Christmas Everlasting.
Mm-hmm.
We chose this one because this year Hallmark made at least two, maybe there's more, with black leads, which is a big advancement.
Yeah.
And so we wanted to make sure that we were including one of those. Yeah. Because we appreciate that they're trying a little bit at a time trying to be a bit more.
Yeah.
Diverse. And yeah, that the black character is not just like a friend, like a sassy
a
friend or a wise friend.
Yeah,
these like tropes. So this one stars Tatiana Ali from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air fame. And her uncle is played by Dennis Haysbert.
Of Allstate fame. And 24 fame, I guess.
And we get a cameo from Patti LaBelle.
Yeah. They were really pushing Patti LaBelle.
Well, she came in for like 10 minutes and they shot a couple of scenes and they made them really big.
I was like, wait a minute, where's Patti LaBelle?
Well, she didn't show up for a long time until
like,
the end.
The commercials, they were like, Christmas Everlasting with Patti LaBelle. I'm like, wait, where is Patti LaBelle?
Yeah. But when I saw Hall of Fame, I was like, oh, because the Hall of... So normally the ones we do are just the regular ones. Like, we were watching one last night, and they're all produced by different production companies, and it was produced by All Canadian Production Company. It was the one with Lori Loughlin. It was the old people one.
Yeah.
Where the
that
stars
looks like a good
are,
one, though.
I watched about half of it. It was good. Where the stars are older. They always have one of those. They're diverse.
Yeah, they're diverse.
And Hallmark is not ageist. So that one is lighthearted and kind of goofy, like we normally do. This is more... serious, and I was concerned that it would be hard to... We don't make fun of these movies, but we do laugh about things that are in them.
Yeah.
And I felt concerned that this was going to be a real somber episode.
Well, it is a somber episode.
Yeah, there's some things that we can't laugh about in this one. We're in New York again, and we see the same
shot of Central Park where people are skating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's all kind of is blending together at this point.
Yeah.
And she is a lawyer and she's lawyering.
At first I thought she was doing business deals, but she was doing lawyering business
deals. Yeah, because like she's involved in real estate law. So she's talking to her assistant and to a client, and she tells the client, like, don't worry, we'll get this taken care of. I'm working through Christmas. We know this story. And her assistant is giving her tickets to the Nutcracker. So her tickets arrive to the Nutcracker, and her sister, who lives in Wisconsin, where she's from, is going to come to town. She comes to town every year, and they go see the Nutcracker.
Her name is Lucy.
Yeah.
And the sister is Alice.
Yeah.
The one from Wisconsin is Alice, her older sister.
Yeah, so cute names and no Joy or Eve. Mm-hmm. And they're from Nielsen Bay, Wisconsin?
Nielsen Bay?
Yeah, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Some Neil something Bay. So she's heading out. Their work Christmas party is that night. She's heading out with her assistant, and her assistant's asking her about her sister, and this is when things get real. It turns out that her sister... after college had been in a car accident and had a head injury.
That's all we know.
Yeah.
We don't know to what degree she was injured, but she was going to be really successful, another lawyer-y type perhaps, but maybe due to the head injury, she never left her hometown or couldn't get the job that she really wanted.
Right. So when they're heading out and they're in like the lobby of their building, and there are shops, there's like retail in the lobby of their building, and Lucy eyes like a snowflake sparkly mm-hmm. necklace in the window of the store. And she buys it, and we see that she buys it for her sister, yeah. for Alice. And it seems to mean something. We don't know what.
There was a lot of that.
A lot of mystery, a lot of unanswered questions.
As you move through, yeah. The Christmas party had a really cool, smooth jazz band playing. A lot of cool sax.
Well, before she heads out to the Christmas party, she talks on the phone to Alice. We hear her side of the conversation, and we find out that Alice works at an animal shelter or volunteers at mm-hmm. an animal shelter, and that seems to be a big part of her life. So then she goes to the party, and she's having champagne with her assistant, and her boss approaches her, and I thought he was kind of creepy. Did you think he was creepy?
No, I didn't have that initial reaction.
The way he like approaches her is like, I want to talk to you. It gave me the heebie-jeebies. Felt wrong. So he pulls her to the side and tells her that it looks like she's on track to make junior partner.
All right, yeah.
With all of her hard work. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cut to, she gets a phone call from her uncle, Dennis Haysbert.
Uncle Barney.
Something about Alice. Again, we don't know what's happened. Something tragic has happened, and she has to leave and rush home back to Wisconsin. Yep. So she goes home, and as she's in Wisconsin, as she's driving up, approaching the home, we start to see some flashbacks. So throughout this movie, we see flashbacks to their childhood, and they're really cute little girls. They're like decorating their house for Christmas. It's the same house that she's going to that they grew up in. Like later, we see them opening gifts on Christmas Day and getting gingerbread cookies. So her memories of them. And we also see Alice before the head injury as well. She goes into the house, and the house is really cool in this one. Mm-hmm. Usually the houses or the condos they look like model homes.
Yeah, exactly.
But this is a really cool house. There's another, I think, Christmas. It's the one with Gregory Harrison as the dad. Like Christmas Love or Christmas in Love. There's something. It's one of my favorites. And that's a cool house. Two. Those are the only two cool houses.
Oh, and the
one we watched about the cookie crawl, but it really stands out when it's a house that like I would want to mm-hmm. live in. It's kind of like in the middle of nowhere. It looks like a lot of land in the middle of nowhere, and like maybe on a lake or something, or a bay.
I think it was on the bay. Yeah, I think it was on
in Wisconsin.
It had a lot of land, and it's on the water.
So when she walks in the house, there's a photo on the like a table in the foyer of Alice with a cat.
Yeah. A lot of good animal stuff in this one, too.
Yeah.
You see Alice's violin.
Yeah, so we find out that Alice was kind of an overachiever, had a lot of promise, and was good at a lot of things. So we see these flashback memories, and then we see photos, too. And, like, the photos are the same as the flashback memories. Yeah. Like, they just took stills from the memories and used those for the photos. We get a flashback of what seems like the night of the accident, too. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Alice was playing violin, a little concert, and Lucy was there, and she's flirting with a boy, mm-hmm. and she and the boy are going to leave to go decorate his family's Christmas tree, and Alice pleads with Lucy I really need to tell you something, and can you please, like, she just come back from college, I haven't seen you, can you please stick around so I can talk to you? And she's like, I'm going to go to Peter's house and we can talk. You can pick me up. Come drive and pick me up. And I'll be at Peter's. I won't get into exactly how things turn out, but did you get a feeling that she had a secret at this point?
I didn't know that she had a secret at this point.
Something in my gut, I knew exactly what was coming.
You did.
I felt like she wanted to tell Lucy something that she couldn't, that was really personal mm-hmm. and that she couldn't tell her family, and that maybe involved a relationship. Mm-hmm. It had some feeling to me of that. So I wondered if you, because we didn't watch this together, I wondered if...
I just was thinking that you wanted to tell her something about college.
I wonder if you had that same kind of inkling.
The recital or whatever, but she chooses to go with Peter and decorate the tree and misses the end of the recital.
Yeah. Now back in present day, she's at the house. Dennis Haysbert is there. And Alice has been living in this house. So we find out that their parents had died a few years ago. It seems like the uncle kind of like stepped in. Mm-hmm. And they inherited this house. And Alice has been living there. So I guess what we haven't said that they don't say right away is that Alice has passed away.
Yeah. She died of a heart attack.
Yeah. Very, suddenly and unexpected. And so Lucy is there. She wants to take care of everything and go to the funeral, but she needs to head back to work right away.
And she hasn't been home.
No, yeah.
Lucy has not been to this house in 10 or 11 years.
Seems like her way of dealing with the head injury and the parents dying is just to, like, work in New York.
Yeah.
So she's walking around the house. She goes into Alice's room and, you know, like, things are the same as they were when she had lived there. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there's signs of her achievements.
Yeah.
On the posted on the walls. So now we have the funeral, which was my favorite part of this movie.
Which is weird to say, but it was.
Yeah, because there's a cat on a leash at this funeral.
Well, we know Alice worked at the animal shelter.
Yeah, she loved animals.
And she loved animals, so there were tons of animals at the funeral. And I think Alice was the one that made...
So Lucy's like, how can animals be in church?
Yeah.
And someone explained to her that Lucy got an ordinance passed that that animals could come to church with people, because she said, why should you have to leave your animals at home on Sunday mornings?
Right on, Alice.
So everyone has a dog or a cat, and they all seem to have stories about how Alice paired them with this dog or cat from the shelter, and it made their life better. There's a cat on a leash that's like hanging out with some dogs. So we meet the people in that. We find out that Alice has touched a lot of people's lives. We're starting to meet these people, and three of them are the FOA.
Friends of Alice.
Now, how did you feel about the FOA?
I didn't like them.
Weird, right?
One was kind of dim.
Yeah, one was like ditzy.
One was kind of mean.
Yeah, like stern.
And another one.
Like, it's like an earth mother.
And another one
She looked sickly as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But she was pregnant. Like, at first I thought, are these spirits? Are these real people? Did they have that feeling? I don't know. Yeah, they were just weird to me. And I was like, who are these actresses? Because they all looked a little bit familiar. I'm like, are they models? Like, they sort of all looked like J. Crew models, kind of. But no, they're just kind of like random actresses. But they all just gave me, like, just kind of, they had, like, a mean girl vibe to them.
They loved Alice, and they knew how much Alice loved Lucy, and they were kind of mad at Lucy for never coming home to visit, and they kind of don't like her because she forgot about Nilsson's Bay.
Right, and didn't really know her sister anymore.
Didn't know her sister, didn't know anything about the area. They were rude throughout most of the movie.
Mm-hmm. Then Peter walks in, who I didn't think he looked anything like. Do you think he looked? Yeah,
Peter?
Not all.
He reminded me of Jason Kidd.
Yeah, and he reminded me of the guy in Gilmore Girls. What's his name? Who works at the inn in Gilmore Girls?
Rochelle. What's his name?
Michelle?
Yeah.
So
yeah, we get it. Yeah.
If Michelle and Jason Kidd had a baby, it would be Peter,
a handsome bald man.
So he walks in and Lucy gets nervous. We don't know, like, what happened with that relationship. But they talk, and he makes a reference to her being on New York time. We've heard this one before.
Yeah.
The things are a bit slower in the small town. And we find out that Peter is Alice's lawyer, too. So he's handling her estate. So the next day he comes over, and they're going over the will. And she's got it, like, she's on the phone with work. As soon as they read the will, she's heading back
she's
to New York. And so she just assumes that the house is being left to her. But it turns out that her will states that Lucy has to live there for 4 weeks to get the house. And if she doesn't, the house is going to be donated to the animal shelter. So Lucy's like, I can't do this. But, you know, she really doesn't have a choice. And she calls her boss and tells her boss, and her boss is upset and nervous about it. And he's worried. Like, she says, I have no intention of staying here after 4 weeks. Okay. And the boss is worried that, you know, this is just the beginning of her losing focus.
Yeah. I thought at the beginning, though, he was okay with it. That he realized, you know, the sister died.
Yeah, he was understanding.
He was understanding, yeah. But also maybe coming to the realization that it might not end well.
Yeah. And she assures him that she can get all of her work done there. She's in town and she goes to, like, a food store.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out what kind of,
like,
you can get cake.
A bakery,
and
but it's also sort of like a deli.
Yeah.
Or maybe you can get lunch there.
But a beloved local
McHenry's.
McHenry's, yeah. Local restaurant slash coffee shop slash deli slash small town gathering place.
And she's treated very coldly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they don't like her.
At the counter, they had a donation cup with a really bad picture of Alice on the like plastered on the donation cup.
Just put the animal on it. You don't need to be on that cup. We got it. And when she heads back home, two little girls greet her with a cat carrier, and they're bringing Alice's cat back to her. So the little girls belong to the friend who is pregnant, mm-hmm. the Earth Mother, like bohemian one. Yeah, so they hand the cat over to her, and she's like, I don't know. Okay, I don't know what to do with this. And the cat's name is Mr. Freckles.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, like a big orange tabby cat. Yeah, I liked the cat.
This one. Yeah, the cat was great. And the cat doesn't like Lucy.
No.
Also very distant.
Yeah, doesn't trust her.
She doesn't, she hasn't been around. Mr. Freckles doesn't like strangers. You need to be around and get to know Mr. Mm-hmm. Freckles.
So she's at home and Peter shows up again and he's got a huge Christmas tree and he says every year he brought a tree to Alice. And so he's, you know, continuing that tradition and brings the tree in and she doesn't really know what to make of that. And he sets it up and they start talking and they talk about being lawyers and kind of the differences in their lawyering.
Yeah.
I also have in my notes, I have good cat acting in it.
Oh, was there Mr. Freckles?
Well, she tells him that she's concerned about Mr. Freckles. And so he shows her there's like in this beautiful house, there's like one kitchen cabinet with cats drawn on it.
Yeah, that's where they hold the cat food.
And this is when I feel bad about the head injury stuff. Cause I thought like, did she do that because she would remember where the cat food
all these white cabinets. Where did I keep the cat food?
We don't know how Alice was because we never.
No, you never saw her after.
And everything is wonderful about Alice.
Yeah, but you never saw her. To what extent mm-hmm. was she brain damaged? Mm-hmm. Obviously, she could still function, but perhaps not to quite a high level as she should have been. So, yeah.
So he pulls out a can of cat food and they find the cat. He's under the bed. That's where the good cat acting is because the cat gives him looks and like twitches its tail. So they're trying to get the cat to come out and warm up to Lucy. Lucy finds a quilt in Alice's room, or the start of a quilt in Alice's room, the first pieces. And there's a tag, like an embroidered tag, and it says, for Maeve. So we haven't met a Maeve yet. We don't know who Maeve is. And even though I had those thoughts of like that she was hiding something, my first thought was that Maeve was Patti LaBelle.
Right, because we haven't seen Patti LaBelle and she gets top billing. Yeah, so a mystery, another mystery. Yeah.
Maeve is not Patti LaBelle.
No, she is not.
That's my first thought. That's the thing. Like, my mind was thinking Patti LaBelle so much throughout the movie. Like, who is Patti LaBelle? That was the biggest mystery to me. And everyone's just making Lucy feel bad. So, you know, I felt bad for Lucy, too. So she's figuring this out. It's sort of like she's never really dealt with any
Absolutely.
Of it. And now she's having to.
Yep.
As she's decorating the tree, she pulls out ornaments and she pulls out an ornament and we see a flashback that Alice had given her an ornament and it looks like that necklace that she had bought her.
Snowflake ornament type of thing, yeah.
Yeah. So Lucy's plan is to sell the house. She doesn't want to live in Wisconsin.
Yeah. Yeah. She wants to go back to New York to her job.
So she meets with a realtor, the classic smarmy realtor in these movies. Another one of my favorite things about this is his photo with his dachshunds.
Three of them.
Because of Alice. So this photo is his three dachshunds. Maybe they're wearing like sweaters. And then a little oval image of the realtor. So it's the main photo. We should put this image up. Maybe we'll use this image. Yeah. The main photo is, though it's not like very indicative of the movie, but it's visually, it's great, is the dogs. And then like in a 70s blurred edge way in the corner, small is him. Right? Is that good? Description of it.
Ed Glazer, the Glazer Realty.
And guess what? Surprise, surprise. He's going to build condos.
Yeah, and he was saying that...
Because, again, we want condos in the middle of nowhere in Wisconsin.
It's like, house is lake. This is lakefront property.
Oh, well, yeah.
Comps
I guess
are in
so.
The 500K range, is what he said. Uh-huh. I just love the term comps. Developer would kill to make turn this this land into condos. I think that's when Lucy was like, this is where I grew up. I don't want to... I want it to stay.
I want someone to buy this house and love it.
Yeah,
and so, it is such a cool house. Like, don't sell that house for a lot of money. Don't. Yeah.
So right there, though, you can tell that Lucy is kind of softening again to her hometown and easing away from being the high-powered lawyer in New York.
Yeah. And it comes up at some point that the her grandparents had built that
right,
house.
Right, yeah, right.
Which
yeah,
I didn't... So, it did not look old,
no,
but whatever.
But a lot of sentimental value. Warm memories happened in that house.
Yeah. So that quilt bit that she finds, turns out it's part of a friendship quilt. Is this a thing? A friendship quilt? I've never heard of this.
I'm not aware of anything like that.
Maybe we just don't know about this, but a friendship quilt is where your friends get together and make it together. You can't make it on your own. So the FOA would go to Alice's house and make quilts. And this is the one that they'd started. Mm-hmm. And it has to be finished. Like, they all have to do it together.
And it has to be finished in the house where it begins.
There's a lot of rules that they just were making up on the fly, I feel.
Lucy was like, oh, I'll just give it to you and you can finish it. And they were like, no, we have to finish it in the house where it started.
Yeah. So they're going to come over and finish this quilt.
Quilt party.
She's trying to track down Peter, and Peter's secretary is a woman she'd met at the funeral with her cat, and the cat's at work with her too. And this woman has a great Wisconsin accent. It's the only Wisconsin accent in the movie. And it turns out that Peter is ice skating, that he teaches skating lessons once a week, and of course, at an indoor skating rink.
Where do you think he would be at 12:30 on a Wednesday? And she's like, I don't know, at work? No, he's ice skating.
Yeah, so this is, we see the small town lawyering versus the big city lawyering.
He also takes off on a Monday, I think, later in the movie. He's off doing some goodwill on a Monday. I'm like, when's this guy working?
Well, he does a lot of ice fishing.
Ice fishing. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So she goes and she tracks him down, and she's starting to see how involved Alice was with everything. And when she tracks him down, he is accusing her of, like, that she's just run away from Alice.
Yeah, which is true.
Yeah. So back at the house, she's playing with the cat, starting to, like, play with her. So she has, like, Christmas ornaments out. There's, like, a ball that she rolls under the sofa, and then it shoots back out. So the cat's warming up. Everyone seems to be cooling down about it all, warming up to her. She finds a sketchbook, and looks like they found some more work for that one artist.
The one Hallmark artist that does the art in every single movie.
Again, I think we know what's going on with the Hallmark artist. There's been a traumatic brain injury. It's the only thing that can explain it. The history of bad work. Alice has been responsible for all of it. Not only are all the drawings and paintings bad, but they're the same bad. They're the same weird faces and weird slopiness to everything. Yeah, we've got a sketchbook full of them.
I think Lucy at the beginning thinks they're self-portraits.
Yeah, so they're like a girl that looks like Alice playing the violin and with a Christmas tree, but they look like younger.
Yeah.
So she looks through those. Then the FOA show up to do the friendship quilt, and we get a creepy quilting montage set to an Andy Williams song.
Yeah.
I only know that because of the lights.
I think this is the first quilting montage that I've seen in a Hallmark Christmas movie.
Yeah. It probably isn't, but the one person we've seen.
Yeah.
And she's still trying to find out who Maeve is. So she's doing some Googling.
Yeah, she Googles.
Yeah,
does she actually Google? You know how sometimes when...
She doesn't use Chum Hum.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so she's trying to track down, and no results are coming back for Maeve and Nilsson's Bay.
So Uncle Barney is at the house admiring the tree and asking, oh, where did this come from? From Peter, of course. And he suggests that they invite Peter over for Christmas. And so what's happened with her and Peter was that they were like the great loves of each other's lives. But once Alice had the accident, Lucy just kind of shut everything down, including Peter. And that's how things were left.
Didn't want to be reminded of what has happened back home. And we also, when she's in the house with the quilting party, she also notices more quilts.
It's like a whole trunk of them.
A whole trunk of quilts, and they all say "For Maeve" on them. Again, we don't know what or who Maeve is, but obviously it was somebody very important to Alice.
So she goes to find Peter and asks the secretary where he is. Of course, he's not at the office, but where else would he be but ice fishing? All right, let's talk about the ice fishing scene. So she drives up. It's snowy. She drives up and there's two, I believe they are, there's like Chevys, like SUVs kind of at an angle pointing towards each other. She's driving a Chevy as well and comes in the middle and she steps out and it's just like how car commercials end at Christmas time where there's like the three cars lined up and it's like a wintry scene. And she steps out and it's...
They have a bow on.
And she steps out and it's such bad green screen. You can tell she's on like a just in a studio. It's so bad. And she's like, what? We see her feet, but they're not, it's not her, like somebody else's feet walking on like some ice and boot, like high heel boots. It's so weird. Didn't you feel that was weird?
I mean, I know she's been away for a long time, but growing up, I would think that she would be very familiar with ice fishing and not think anything. She was scared to go out on the ice, kind of, where if you look 20 yards out, there's like houses that are built.
So it's these cute little huts. They're adorable. The ice fishing houses are adorable.
Yeah, and especially Peter's is very extravagant Christmas decorations.
Yes, really decorated. So apparently when you ice fish, you have a cute little hut, and you go inside and you just sit on a sofa with a hole in the ground. Is this how it is?
Yeah.
And you have like a little stove where you make hot chocolate or
wonderful.
Whatever. Yeah. And you have pots and pans on the wall and a Christmas tree. And
I think really, and that's, you know, a glorified version.
I think
so. I think it's a bunch of fat guys sitting around drinking beer, talking bad about their wives is how it usually plays out. Is what I'm guessing.
And they have a scene where he almost catches a fish and she like flips out and he loses it because of that. Da, da, da. And she asks him about Maeve too. And he says he's never.
Doesn't know anything about
who Maeve is.
Sort of. He says no, but you know that
he knows.
You
can tell he's covering something. Yeah, I think maybe even he says something like, there's nothing I can say about her or something like that.
I think that's exactly what he said. Yeah, right. So you know that he's holding back something.
So they head to the Christmas festival in town. And yes, you can say it.
Kringles.
They eat Kringles. Or she eats a Kringle. But we don't see it. Did you notice that?
I did notice, yeah.
Still, the Kringle is still a mystery.
Yeah.
See, I was worried that there wasn't enough to talk about in this one, but there's plenty of gems.
I mean, there's a lot of sadness.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's touching.
Yeah. So they're at the tree lighting ceremony and they start talking about their relationship. And he asks her, like, if she's dating anyone. And she's like, no, I work too much. I don't have time. And she asks him, and he said he had dated someone they went to high school with, but now she's like married and has kids. And he reveals to her that nobody's ever lived up to the one person that he loved, which is her.
Yeah.
So the next day she goes back to McHenry's and she finds out that that's the last, like they have a big food festival every Christmas and it's going to be the last one because McHenry's is being sold to developers and they are going to turn it into, we get a double whammy here, condos, check, and a frozen yogurt store.
Yeah, and Glazer.
Doing that deal.
Yeah, he got it.
Frozen yogurt, that's such a dated, like, oh, yuppies love frozen yogurt. It's such a dated reference. I don't know. Like, that's such a, like, big city people like frozen yogurt. Like, we watch Sex and the City. We know that they like to go to get frozen yogurt every night. Yeah, when they said frozen yogurt, I was just like, come on. Okay, so after this, I fast forward through the commercials, but I noticed and stopped and watched it. Did you notice this? There was a commercial for a Lifetime movie, a new Lifetime movie, like this year, starring Tatiana Ali.
No.
Also starring Tempest Bledsoe and Keisha Knight Pulliam.
What?
Yep.
Can we watch Cosby-related people?
You can watch them. Yeah, okay. They're victims as well.
All right.
Yeah. So I was like, what? So Lucy wants to do something to save the store. This is kind of like she knows the ins and outs of this because of her work.
Right. Yeah. There's just like so much going on.
There's so many stories like gets like you think that it's about her grief and Peter, and then you think it's about Maeve, and then it's about saving the store. There's like too many stories.
Yeah,
or the
right.
cat. Like there's just a lot going
yeah,
on.
Like
yeah.
Normally a Hallmark movie would be all about just saving McHenry's.
Mm-hmm.
And then
yeah.
That's, you know.
I know. I was like, they're bringing this into it too.
Yeah,
what?
Right. Yeah. Too much.
Too many condos. Yeah. Big bills.
Save it for another Hallmark Hall of Fame.
So she does, we get a montage of flyers and petitions. Flyers being posted, petitions being signed.
Some really basic looking flyers.
That's going to do it,
some,
apparently.
You know, Kinko's really rudimentary flyers.
Yeah, so she's got a plan that to get the community involved will save McHenry's.
Yeah, she goes to Ed Glazer's office to yell at him.
Yeah.
When she finds out McHenry's is gone, she's mm-hmm. like, and I am not selling that house.
Yeah, he doesn't know who he's up against.
Yeah, right.
With his dachshunds. Peter invites her to his mom's house for a cookie thing. I couldn't understand what they were saying, but it turns out it's Cookie-mas, like Christmas.
Oh,
did you figure that out?
No, because I wrote Cookie Mouse.
Yes.
like a Cookie Mouse question mark? What's a Cookie Mouse?
Or I thought this is what I thought. I thought it was Cookie Moss, like in Spanish, moss is more.
Cookie more?
Cookie, it is Cookie Moss, but
like Christmas.
Yeah. Cookie Moss.
But that's a lot better than Cookie Mouse. I couldn't figure what. How did Cookie Mouse?
I don't like the word Cookie Moss. It makes me uncomfortable. So here it is. Who is Peter's mother?
Patty LaBelle in an ugly sweater
and a wig. Uncle Barney is there as well, and they make cookies and they take them to the retirement home. And I'm sure Alice had something to do with this do-gooding well. So they're really happy to have Lucy and Uncle Barney there. So Peter pulls her to the side. He has gotten a letter today, and the letter is from Maeve. So he knew about Maeve all along. So it turns out that when Alice was in college, she got pregnant and had the baby and gave the baby up for adoption. And that's what she was going to tell Lucy that night. So my question is, why did she never tell Lucy later? Lucy wasn't there. She wasn't able to tell her. How did this not ever come up again? She's been making quilts for Maeve and doing drawings of Maeve. Because Maeve is the girl in the drawings in the sketchbook.
Yeah.
Too. Anyway, we don't have to figure this out, but it was an unanswered question for me. So Peter's the only person as her lawyer. And he says he couldn't tell because it was lawyer and attorney-client privilege. And so all is revealed. And it turns out that Maeve wants to come and meet Lucy. Lucy kind of breaks down. She's upset that Peter hadn't told her about Maeve or lied about what he knew about her. And when she breaks down, she admits that the reason that she left Wisconsin and left Peter was that she felt the accident was her fault. If she would have just stayed at the violin concert, not gone over to Peter's house, who she liked, to a boy's house that she liked, then Alice wouldn't have had to come to pick her up, gotten in the car accident. She said she couldn't even look at Peter after that because it just made her think of the whole thing.
She says that everything in this town reminds her that she ruined Alice's life. But then Peter explains that Alice's life wasn't ruined.
Yeah, she had an important life.
An amazing life and really affected so many people in the community.
And this all happens on a covered bridge, too. Decorating Christmas lights.
They did show the Welcome to Wisconsin if you're driving up 94 or whatever, the big state of Wisconsin state.
Like the brown wooden
thing, yeah.
Yeah. And Peter asks Lucy to forgive herself for Christmas as a Christmas present, to let it go finally and forgive herself. Lucy storms home, starts packing her suitcase, and she's going to go back to New York. She's so upset. And she looks at the drawings, and she starts to cry. The drawings of Maeve, starts to cry. And when this happens, the FOA show up at the door. They're there to finish the quilt. So she's crying. One of them, even like the ditzy one, acknowledges that she's crying. And they help her. So she tells them about Maeve, and they talk through it all. And now we realize that they've become good friends too. And the cat jumps in Lucy's lap.
Yeah, the cat is officially warmed up to Lucy.
The cherry on top. So the next day, you know, the McHenry's thing is still unresolved. Mm-hmm. Everything else is kind of coming together. Mm-hmm. And her boss calls and she blows him off. She gets off the phone with him quickly because the cat, she feeds the cat. The cat comes up to her and she has a look on her face like she's like an aha moment, like the light bulb turned on. She's figured out how to save the store.
The developer has to.
Yeah, she goes to Peter to help. To help with it. So it was something, some loophole about how like the developer had to, whatever the permit was initially for what the store was going to be used for, the developer has to either do that or there has to be a hearing
in front of the, all the town's folk.
So her rallying the town together, they were going to like be able to stop it at the meeting then. But she needed Peter's help because she's not a licensed to practice law in Wisconsin. So she needed lawyer. So even though they had just kind of had a blow up, she's got to go
come back to him. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So now's the big day that Maeve is going to come over to the house, and Lucy is really excited and nervous about it. And so Peter brings Maeve over, and Maeve is really cute. I loved Maeve.
Yeah.
Maeve has like super cool hair and cool nails. She's like very modern for a Hallmark Hall of Fame movie. Maeve loves the cat, and turns out she loves animals too. And they're both nervous about it all.
The cat loves Maeve right away.
Yeah.
She could tell the cat sensed that Maeve was good people.
Yeah. Lucy was like, oh, the cat doesn't like anybody. And she's like, oh, what? Yeah. What? The cat loves you. They watch home movies that don't look old at all. They were taken with an iPhone. And Lucy gives Maeve the quilt that they had finished. And it all kind of like overwhelms Maeve too.
That's the one she also tells her about, that Alice had made a quilt for Maeve for every
Christmas.
So she had, you know, whatever.
And Maeve had always 17. Wondered if her mom, when she found out she was adopted, she always wondered if her mom ever thought about her. And this was Lucy's way of proving that her mom thought about her
all the time.
Yeah. So she takes her to McHenry's and introduces her to the FOA. And it turns out that Maeve invites herself and her family over for Christmas.
And that's when Uncle Barney comes in and asks the most important question of the movie.
What?
Do you want ham or turkey?
Oh, yeah. There's a running gag about he's ordered both. So
why are you asking that? If we're going to order both, why are you asking?
Because this is one line. This is his dad joke. His uncle joke. Don't worry, we've got you covered. Then Peter talks to Lucy and he says that he's been thinking that he needs a partner. So,
because he's never working,
he needs like a lawyer that does things.
Lucy to do the work while he's out ice fishing.
Perfect.
Or teaching skating.
So, you know, we're getting the feeling that Lucy's going to stick around and be partner. Like they're going to sit at a big desk. You know that thing of the big desk? Those like TV dudes that have the big desk. Is anybody going to know what I'm talking about? There was like a whole sitcom made about them. Or like my favorite movie, Legal Eagles. We should do a Legal Eagles podcast.
All right. We can fire that up in January.
And so Maeve's family comes over for Christmas. They're very appreciative to and excited to meet Lucy and
Maeve's parents. This is Grant Guy. This is my dad, Grant Guy. Has it happened yet where the FOA has decided to change their name?
That's the next thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. They changed their name to the FOL, Friends of Lucy. They just forget Alice.
Oh, such an impact on the community. FOL.
So we've got 30 seconds left. Everything's got to be wrapped up. And everyone's at their house for Christmas. And we just hear a conversation. They're like, okay, we got to figure out the McHenry thing. So we kind of drop to that story. So what's going to happen is that the developers can build things, but they have to keep McHenry's there.
Yep.
Too.
So one of the friends of Lucy gets a keeper job.
Mm-hmm.
So that she worked there. So the community is happy.
Yeah.
McHenry's is staying.
Lucy asks Peter for forgiveness and they kiss under the mistletoe while the cat plays with an ornament on the tree. Just like a random shot is thrown in. They're filming like, oh, look, that cat's playing with the ornament. The cat stuff is the best.
Yeah. The end.
So let's do naughty and nice. This is when we talk about the best and worst thing in the movie. I'm going to make you do naughty and I'll do nice. I think you know what I'm going to say about nice. All right. So what's your naughty?
I'm going to have to go with Ed Glaser, realtor extraordinaire from Nelson Bay, wanting to turn
everything into condos. Everything. Yeah. Maybe it was on your show. I don't know what show it was on about how... I think it was on your show about how malls, like big anchor stores, are moving out and they're going to build apartments where like those anchor stores are. So then you live in the mall. And I'm just like, this is a Hallmark movie right here.
That would be, if you were, man, if I was 12. Well,
we want to write something. This
yeah.
is, yeah.
I would have loved to have lived in the mall when I was 12.
And nice, I mean, there's only one choice, the cat.
Mr. Freckles.
I wish that I would have looked up what Mr. Freckles, I usually, when there's a pet actor, I'll look up the... I don't think it was it Happy? There's Happy the dog and Happy the cat.
No, I don't think so.
It might have been Happy because I think Happy is an orange tabby. I need to look this up, who yeah. the cat actor was, because he did a great job. All right, well, that's it. Please make sure and rate and review us on iTunes. We've gotten a couple of nice reviews lately, so we really appreciate that. Keep it going. And this is our last episode of the year of a Hallmark Christmas movie. We've got one more coming on Christmas Day. It will be on air some point during the day, and then mm-hmm. it'll be posted as a podcast, too. We do a Christmas movie, but not a Hallmark one, so you'll have to check that out. And we'll be back with our Legal Eagles podcast soon. Maybe next year we will actually get some like Hallmark movies, Valentine's, summer. We'll see. If not, we'll see you back in October again. Thanks for listening. Happy holidays. It's cold out there.